It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. We are taking you up to football for the first time in 2024. A regular season game played tonight. The Ravens, the Chiefs, Arrowhead Stadium, Kansas City. The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condorian Murrah. They're going to guide you and your family in the right direction, helping you to draft a will, set up a trust, create a healthcare power of attorney, schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. You'll get a discount. kmlawyers.com. We will preview tonight's game between the Ravens and the Chiefs and break down both of those divisions, rank all four teams in order in both the AFC North and West coming up in just a bit. But right now, we're very excited to learn a little bit more behind the scenes on quarterback Jaden Daniels from Drake Cooper, who helped put together the documentary that's going to be coming out in 5 days on Amazon Prime on LSU and the NIL collective and the big booming business they've created that everybody in college football and college sports is now trying to benefit from. But LSU seemed to have been one of the first programs on the scene. So, Dre, thank you so much for the time. We really appreciate it. You're on in D.C. with Grant and Danny. How are you?
All right. Hey, Grant and Danny. Thanks for having me, guys. It's a real pleasure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man.
This sounds like such a great project.
What a great idea.
Yeah. I watched the trailer, and it's awesome. I cannot wait for this. Tell us a little bit about why LSU and kind of how you decided to do this.
Yeah, I mean, look, when you look at the college sport landscape, the reality is you know, since the NIL policy change, some would argue the scene has turned upside down, right? And many schools were kind of caught trying to figure out what to do. But LSU jumped headfirst into the deep end right away. And so they mobilized internally. They put together a team inside their athletic department to deal specifically with NIL. And right away they saw an opportunity with Olivia Dunn, given her social media following. And so together they partnered, and they put Livy on a big old digital billboard in Times Square on July 1st, 2021, and said, hey, we're NIL LSU, and we're ready to jump in and figure this out. So, you know, the stars aligned for us, and we ended up following some of the biggest names in college athletics all down there in Baton Rouge at LSU.
What was the experience like with Jaden Daniels? Obviously, we're pretty invested here on our end in Washington, D.C., as he's the quarterback of the moment and hopefully the future. What was it like just sort of being around him, and what'd you learn?
Yeah, I mean, look, you guys have an incredible player on your hands and an incredible young man. You know, Jaden was one of five athletes that we followed closely in the series. And, you know, you'll see firsthand what his experience was like at LSU. You know, for some of your audience, they may know, but others may not, that, you know, he was a transfer kid. He entered the portal, but he didn't come to LSU with a lot of collective money. In fact, they weren't doling out any money for him to come. He had to prove himself. He had come out of, you know, Arizona State. Things were a little bit shaky his sophomore year. he had some challenges off the field, losing both his grandparents, and so he was ready for a fresh start. And so you pick up in our series, we pick up in 22 with his retelling of the Alabama game at Death Valley down at LSU, and he beats Alabama in overtime. And that's really what put Jaden Daniels, you know, on the map down here in the SEC. And so we followed him across the whole school year last year, and that incredible Heisman run. So you guys can see it firsthand.
It's going to be amazing. I know our listeners here in D.C. can't wait. Dre Cooper's documentary is The Money Game. It's on LSU, NIL, and where we're headed collegiately in sports with amateur superstars at this point. More about Daniels, just kind of the guy he is, the teammate he is. I mean, you got unfettered access. I think you've probably been closer to him behind the scenes, hard knock style, than anybody at this point based on the doc you were doing last year. And then also I'm curious about his parents. I know I've just heard from reading some things about the doc that his mom was like more involved maybe than his dad in some of his business ventures. Like, what can you tell us about him and his family?
Yeah, I mean, Jaden's got an incredible support system. His mom, Regina, you know, plays a critical role. You know, both mom and dad have been there since the beginning, right, when he started, you know, in Pop Warner football as a young boy. So both his parents have been closely involved as he's grown up with the game. But, yeah, when it came to NIL, mom ran the back end of that, right? She handled the business deals. And I think what makes Jaden's NIL experience unique in the context of our show is that for him, NIL, while he took advantage of it at times, it wasn't the primary focus, right? His primary focus was winning and supporting his football team. And he had his eyes on the bigger prize, right, which was the NFL bag. And so he's lucky, right? Whereas if you're a gymnast like Olivia Dunn, you don't have a professional league to look forward to. You're done when college is over. And so, you know, I think for Jaden, it puts things into perspective that, like, you know, you don't have to throw all your eggs into this NIL basket. You know, it's great to take advantage of this opportunity, but if you've got real skill and you've got an opportunity to go to the league, then you've obviously got to, you know, focus on the big picture, right?
Dre, jumping off of that, through this process, what kind of surprised you? Sort of thinking about Jaden Daniels involved here, but what did you not know going in? What, you know, kind of took you aback a little bit? Doesn't have to be bad, but just something that you went, I didn't know this is how it was going to go, or some kind of detail that as you're doing this, going through this process, that took you by surprise.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of folks have opinions about NIL, right? If you're an avid sports fan, you know, I think most people are pretty leery of the idea of paying amateur athletes. And I think for a long time, we had this really romantic notion, right, that the idea of amateurism was this really special, sacred thing. And while I do think there's something to be said for it, you realize that, hey, you know, these student athletes are part and part to the success of these schools, and they're helping generate revenue. So I think we all agree that they need to be part of, you know, the revenue share, if you will. But I think the thing that I didn't realize going into this that became clear really fast is just how much time and energy goes into the NIL side of things for each of these student athletes. It's a lot of work. It's a huge responsibility. It takes tons of time to go, you know, do the photo shoots or go do the commercials or go do the event. And then you've got to create the content and post it. And so when you're looking at an Angel Reese or Jaden Daniels, they've got support. They've got a team. They've got people that help them with that. But if you're a Leah Armstrong, who's a track athlete at LSU, you know, you're like most college athletes. So you're kind of doing it on your own. And you're asking around and you're looking for support. And it's hard to navigate. And I think you'll see that this idea of revenue share, which is where we're headed, I think it makes more sense when you understand the toll that NIL takes on these college athletes day to day.
Dre Cooper was behind the documentary that's coming out now in 5 days on September 10th. You can watch it on Prime Video. The Money Game is what it's called. Jaden Daniels, one of the athletes prominently followed around, and with all the access he got, great insight into the Commanders' new quarterback. How much money is there to be made for just some random athlete in a random college sport? You know, it's one thing if you're Jaden Daniels or Livy Dunn, who's a great gymnast, and everybody, you know, followed her initially because they liked Livy Dunn. She was beautiful, and she's talking about whatever, right? Like, what if you're just me, a swimmer, or Danny, a track guy? Like, is there real money to be had?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I think that's what makes our series so fascinating, is that we follow six athletes, each of whom, you know, are on a different part of the NIL spectrum, right? So at the very top, you've got Libby Dunn, who is the biggest earner in NIL in college athletics, right? And then you've got Angel Reese and Jaden Daniels and Flajae Johnson right behind her, you know, and they're making literally millions of dollars. And then you've got the quote-unquote average athlete. You know, you talk about the swimmer, or in the case of Aaliyah Armstrong, she's a track athlete. And in those situations, you know, we're talking much more modest money, you know, $20,000 here, you know, maybe $40,000 there, maybe $50,000 all in. You know, if you're real lucky, you can break $100,000, which, look, for a college, you know, athlete,
that's a lot.
That's still real money. That's still real money. And so we actually followed a men's basketball player, Trace Young, really interesting young man who is a hype guy, right? He's the hype man for the team. He's all about bringing energy. But he only played maybe 2 minutes during the whole entire season, right? That guy made almost 200 plus grand last year.
Wow.
I mean, that's real money. And he does it because he's a hustler. He knows how to play the game. He's really good at social media. And I think that's the piece that's really interesting here, is that what you find is that the NIL game is really at the cross section of college athletics, social media, and the influencer economy. They all come together, and they all come together in our show.
Trey, I just want to get your thought on something, because of your unique perspective and what you're going to be able to show so many folks here with this documentary. One of the things that always made me, you know, kind of my stomach turn a little bit as a kid and then growing up kind of pre-NIL was the idea of a grown-up yelling at a college kid or being upset with him because they didn't catch the pass or make the shot or whatever, right? Where I'm going, this kid maybe broke up with his girlfriend, maybe he had a midterm or something, right? It was like that still, even though it may have been an illusion, it may have been fraudulent, still like an adult yelling at an amateur never really felt right to me. Well, now, you know, they're probably making more money than the fan is, right? Now these are professionals in a way, but it's still amateur, and I'm not really sure. So I just sort of wonder how you quantify that and just maybe your thoughts generally. That's like what's good or bad. It's just something that I've been kind of struggling with.
Yeah, and I think that's the gray area, right? That's what makes this issue so complicated. And I think that's why you're seeing the NCAA and the schools and different states wrestling with this in different ways. You know, I think that's why you haven't seen one clear set of rules. And I think a lot of that is because people are conflicted, right? It is this nuanced situation where everybody, I think, for the most part, is in agreement that the student athletes deserve a piece of the pie. The question is, how big is that piece and how does that function? Because to your point, I mean, some of these folks are, you know, these are young men and women. I mean, they're, you know, just getting out of high school. Some of them are leaving home for the very first time, 18 years old, 19 years old. They're just getting their feet wet in the, you know, quote unquote real world. And look, when you're insulated in a D1 program, it's not the real world either, right? Everything's taken care of for you. So it is tricky. I mean, you know, there's adult responsibility here in managing the money and managing the responsibilities. So I think it's just going to take time to kind of figure out how each school and each program sort of deals with that issue, which is how to support the student athlete, right, with these incredible NIL opportunities, but also figure out how to balance it all, right, with school, with their sport. So there's a lot of pieces to this, and it is tricky because they're young and they're growing up.
Mm-hmm. The Money Game series debut Tuesday, September 10th. That's this coming Tuesday on Prime Video. Dre Cooper, thank you so much for the time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dre.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Our pleasure. We're looking forward to watching and getting that access to Jaden Daniels, which is going to be fantastic. That's really for me. And the rest of it will be awesome, too. I think it's a great subject matter. I'm fascinated and really intrigued by where we're headed with NIL. And this is the first look into it with this detail from the player perspective. But I'll be honest with you. I mean, they had cameras on and around Jaden Daniels for a year. I mean, just the amount we're going to learn about, find out about him, his work habits, what he's like as a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is the equivalent, as I said, of a Hard Knocks type situation with the quarterback that's going to make or break this organization in the years ahead.
Yeah, that subject I'd be fascinated to watch a documentary about. You know what I mean? Just even that, where it's the before one day this thing was not, and then the next day it is, and it's a mad scramble, like the beginning of a dodgeball match from the movie Dodgeball, where we're going to the middle, we're trying to figure out the pile of money, what's legal, what's not, no one knows, and the schools that were set up to do well have done very well, and those that weren't. Now you add in the fact that that's my quarterback. I can't wait for it. I'll see you there.
We got more predictions to make before the NFL season kicks off tonight. Our MVP, Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year predictions, plus a look at the two divisions that have action this evening in the AFC North and West with the Ravens and Chiefs playing in about 3 hours. Let's get to that next on The Fan.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's plenty of meat on the prediction bone for tomorrow. We'll talk a lot more about the Commanders season ahead, and we'll go through each division with our rankings. But I did want to get some thoughts on the two divisions that get underway tonight out of the way. So we could do that in just a moment. Let's start, though, with some individual awards. We'll start with the Most Valuable Player Award, Danny. In 2024, call your shot.
Jalen Hurts wins the NFL MVP. The Kellen Moore offensive coordinator renaissance, all the weaponry, all the schemes, the system, the design, it will work this year. Close to 40 total touchdowns for a prolific offense that's going to win the NFC East and be the number two seed, maybe three seed, in the NFC.
I went with my bold prediction earlier of Jared Goff as the MVP. He's about 20, 25 to 1, depending on where you're looking.
It's not crazy.
FanDuel, 25 to 1, good value. He's not my pick, unless we're doing bold predictions, but I definitely see a path to that for Goff. I'll go with Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills. They win the division, less wide receiver help around him, and the narrative is he did more. Maybe he did as a rusher. Maybe he still had the 40-plus combined touchdowns, and he did it with Curtis Samuel and a rookie wide receiver and Keon Coleman. But I'll say Allen, who is 8-1 to win the MVP, gets the nod over Mahomes. At some point, I think people just get tired of rooting or voting, you know, thinking about the same guy.
And happens all the time.
They kind of go outside the box and say, oh, who can I give it to? So yeah. Burrow and Allen make the most sense.
Hey, there were years that Michael Jordan didn't win the MVP. Karl Malone did. I'm so sure. Charles Barkley did. I'm so sure. Jordan,
you just want to give it to someone else.
Yeah, people get bored.
I think that's probably how it goes. Rookie of the Year. I don't know how many people care about the defensive rookie of the year around these parts, so let's just go O'Roy.
Boring. Chalk. I think we're about to see one of the most prolific rookie seasons in NFL history. The situation is perfect. It's Caleb Williams.
I'm on the same page. It's just hard to fathom him not putting up really good numbers in that offense. And I also think having a top 10 defense means the team's going to be pretty good. Now, maybe they're not going to be behind as often as they have been the last couple of years, so the passing yardage comes down. But I predicted earlier 4,000 yards for Caleb Williams. I think both he and Bo Nix do that. And I do think Caleb Williams gets Chicago over 500 into the playoff mix and is the offensive rookie of the year. I think Jaden will push him, though. I believe that. I think Daniels has a chance to be in the convo because, as you know, I think he's going to run all over the place, make a lot of plays with his feet and with his arm. I think he'll be the ultimate kind of dual threat. And you add up all the numbers, they're going to be pretty impressive.
Yeah, some of the other guys to consider potentially, Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to get a prominent role in Arizona. That guy could certainly put up some big numbers if there's a, you know, let's say Caleb Williams misses three games or Jaden Daniels misses a couple and you know, Neighbors goes for 1,500 yards and 10 touchdowns. You could see something like that happening, right? But yeah, those 1-2 picks at quarterback, those are the prohibitive favorites, rightfully so.
Here's my issue with any receiver, pretty much any non-quarterback. Puka Nacua this past season had the greatest rookie year we've ever seen at the position. Didn't win the award. 105 catches, 1,480 yards, 6 touchdowns. Think about that.
Yeah, you're right.
Over 100 catches and almost 1,500 yards. And C.J. Stroud was really good. I'm not saying he wasn't. But it's not like C.J. Stroud threw 34 touchdowns or something. C.J. Stroud had 23 touchdowns and 5 picks. It was kind of Griffin-ish. It wasn't, you know, a year we don't see. Dak did something like it. Griffin did something like it. And he still won the award over him.
Yeah.
So I just don't know if wide receivers in a narrative award voted on by human beings have a real chance. It's going to be Williams or Nix or Daniels or, you know, one of those QBs generally is how it goes.
Just real quick, you mentioned defensive rookie of the year. Remember, this draft didn't have a defensive player taken until, what was it, like 13 or 14 or 15,
later,
something like that? Yeah. So I like top of my head, I can't remember most of the guys that were taken. My sneaky favorite is Chop Robinson in Miami. They're going to pass a lot. He's going to pass rush a lot. End up with some sacks.
Yeah, I like Dallas Turner as the defensive rookie of the year.
For the Vikings?
Yeah, Minnesota, they took him as their edge rusher. He had a great preseason opener. Can rush the quarterback a little bit. Also look out for Jared Verse, who's the defensive end with the Rams that they took in the first round if you're looking for defensive rookie of the year options. How about your coach of the year in the NFL in 2024? If you're curious about odds, depends on where you're shopping, but Matt Eberflus, 8.5-1. Jim Harbaugh, same. Mike McDonald, 10-1. Matt LaFleur, 12-1. Raheem Morris, 13-1. Anything appeal to you there?
Shane Steichen is my answer. Because, again, I'm predicting a really nice season for the Colts.
15-1.
I think Anthony Richardson has a really nice year. I am a Colts believer, so I think he ends up winning it.
I would go with maybe Mike McDonald if Seattle, because they could go one way or the other. Mm-hmm. I just don't know what to think about them. I think they're one of the hardest teams to project and predict. But I could see Seattle maybe going like 9-8, 10-7, being a wild card team. And then McDonald in his first year as a coach of the year at 10-1. The other one I would throw out there is Kevin O'Connell at 20-1. Minnesota probably won't be good enough.
But if they're a playoff team,
oh yeah,
with everything that happened,
if they go 9-8, like to me, that's a hell of a coaching job. And then I would just throw out Matt LaFleur. What if they overtake Detroit in the North and win that division? Nobody thinks they're going into the season. LaFleur would be in that conversation, I would think, right?
You would think so. Yeah, I mean, just when it basically it's when we all think something's going to happen and then it doesn't, and something positive took its place, that's when your coach of the year comes up. I don't know if that made any sense, but the whole world thinks Detroit's going to win that game by or win that division by three games. If Green Bay does, because they beat Detroit a couple times and they're the best team, then you could see a LaFleur rising to the top.
All right, how about we go AFC North? Ravens play tonight, so we got to go through our projected standings. Finishing order. I know you have Baltimore winning the division. What do you have after that?
Cincinnati, a game behind them. I think they're right there. They're frisky. They're a team nobody would want to play in the playoffs, rightfully so. When they were healthy, they went to a conference title game, and they've been to the Super Bowl. So I got Baltimore 1, Cincy 2. I think Cleveland finishes 3rd just because that defense is so good. They've got great personnel, but I think they're a quarterback away. I think Pittsburgh finishes 4th, losing the tiebreaker maybe at 8-9.
So I'll get cute, I guess, to make things a little different. I already had the Bengals winning the division. You know that. I'll say the Browns 2nd and the Ravens 3rd.
Whoa.
So I'll go Cincinnati at maybe 12-5, Cleveland at 11-6, maybe 10-7, and then I'll go with the Ravens at 9-8. Outside looking in is either the last wild card team or maybe even missing out on the playoffs, a little over 500. I'm not completely convinced Lamar Jackson will make it through a fully healthy season again. When he's done that, he's been an MVP a couple times in the last 4 seasons, but obviously he has issues at times finishing the year out. That was the case in 2 of the last 3 years. So that's a factor for me generally with him. Also, I've talked about this probably too much, but I mean, they lost a lot on the defensive coaching staff, on the defensive side of the ball. I've still got some questions there. I've heard good things about Zach Gore, their new defensive coordinator, and I'll be rooting for him because he's a really young coach getting a shot, and I'm into that. But I think they're going to miss Mike McDonald, who we just mentioned is now in Seattle as the head coach of the Seahawks. So I'll go Bengals 1, Browns 2. My bugaboo there is obviously Deshaun Watson, who's just not that good.
Yep.
But they're so good everywhere else. I think they're going to be great defensively, and I do like their weapons around him to elevate him to basically, you know, slightly above average quarterback play maybe, and that should be enough to get them to double digits. And then I'll have the Steelers rounding it out as well. You said this earlier today that your surprise, I guess, or disappointment would be Pittsburgh because you have them maybe under 500 for the first time.
For the first time?
I could see that. I don't like the quarterback situation with Wilson. I don't know that Fields is any better, although I think he'll start more games. And it's just how many years can you finish 9-8 or 10-7 with a bad offense? At some point, the clock's going to strike midnight.
Yeah, they got away with it with like guts and bubblegum and heart and whatever grit last year, somehow winning those 9 games. They won a game where I think the offense had like 12 yards, numbers approximate. The schedule is not easy, in my opinion. It gets harder because, again, you don't have the easy button for your offense. I think it's going to be a struggle, even though I like Arthur Smith, especially as an offensive mind. Go back to what he did in Tennessee. Pretty innovative, pretty smart, pretty sharp. Turned Ryan Tannehill into somebody that was serviceable and decent. But I just don't see it. I don't see it with this Pittsburgh team. They're built on defense, good coaching, and toughness, and that only goes so far.
They also aren't good at wide receiver outside of George Pickens. Nobody seems to care about that.
Yeah.
Like George Pickens, everyone claims is a wide receiver one. I think he's kind of one-dimensional. He always catches the ball along the sideline on basically nine-route type stuff. He's taken a couple slants and in-breakers at the line of scrimmage to the house, but just not a whole lot of diversity to his portfolio to me. But beyond him, it's Calvin Austin, Van Jefferson, who's on like his fourth team. They drafted Roman Wilson in the third round, who's buried on the depth chart right now. The former speedster with the Bucks when Brady was there, Scotty Miller, is with the Steelers now. But I don't know. That's not a very good receiver.
And we're not used to that, by the way. Pittsburgh, for you know, every team's got something they always seem to get right. Pittsburgh was receiver U, basically, right?
Yeah.
Like, just one guy would give way to the next guy who was just a superstar at that spot, and they just haven't had that, really.
They traded Deontay Johnson, who dropped a lot of passes but caught a ton of passes as well for them the last few years, to the AFC.
To Carolina,
yeah. Right, to the Panthers. And by getting him out of the division to the NFC and the other conference, they don't have to worry about it. But at the same time, I think they're going to worry about their receiver room. How about we pivot to the AFC West with the Chiefs hosting the Ravens tonight? Pecking order in that division starts for both of us with Kansas City. What's it look like after that?
So I think the Chargers are going to be massively improved. Now, I think that you lower your ceiling when you play this way, but you raise your floor. They're going to be smash mouth, Nebraska in the 90s, wishbone, tongue in cheek here. But basically, they're going to thump. Josh Palmer's their best wideout, who is basically a tight end. They're going to play heavy, try to make it easy on Justin Herbert, make a play or two that way. But, you know, this is what Jim Harbaugh does. He rolls in, plays his style, plays his way. You're going to win more with that guy in charge. So you're going to have to deal with some personality stuff. Like, it's going to be difficult. He's going to alienate a bunch of people and make it hard to work with him. But your football teams are going to get better. So it's certainly the price you pay. I think the Chargers ascend in that division, mostly because I don't think anyone else is any good.
I'm going to say second behind the Chiefs would be the Chargers as well. I'm higher on the Broncos, I think, than a lot of people. I like Sean Payton more, who's
become
a punching bag.
Give me a level here.
Like, if they finish second over the Chargers, it wouldn't surprise me.
Wouldn't crazy? Okay.
Like, that high? Like, I picked Bo Nix to go for 4,000 yards earlier in the day?
Yeah.
You know, now, I don't love Bo Nix long-term or anything like that. I think he's a good fit with Payton. I think they're going to have a pretty good thing this year with a quick game and how they operate and insulate him offensively. But I'm going to say, you know, Chiefs 11-6 because they're not going to really have to hit the gas pedal very often. They'll lose a couple games, just kind of taking weeks off, proverbially, that they don't need to win. Probably could be better than that, but won't. Then I'll say the Chargers are 9-8, the Broncos are 8-9, and the Raiders are 7-10. Kind of spread out that way.
Did we sleep on the fact that Broncos last year 8-9? Like, everyone thinks they're going to stink on ice and be terrible. They were awful in the beginning of the season. We saw that firsthand with Washington. But I think they finished 7-4 down the stretch without all that much, and now handpicked quarterback. Again, I think it's probably unfair to expect the world from Bo Nix initially, but the fit is really good with he and Sean Payton. You could just picture kind of like that New Orleans style 2.0 outside, super quick passes, running backs involved, keeping things close to the line of scrimmage, maybe the occasional shot play, but that's not what they major in. They're not bad, Denver. I think they finished third in that division.
This is kind of where I'm going. I mean, they got a decent cast, too. Cortland Sutton, Josh Reynolds, Marvin Mims. They drafted two receivers in rounds 4 and 7 as well. Javonte Williams, Jaleel McLaughlin's kind of an undervalued, underrated running back. Autryk Estime, they drafted in the 5th round as well. Pretty deep at that position. I still like Adam Trautman, who Sean Payton had experience with in New Orleans. Greg Dulcich comes over at tight end, a former 3rd-round pick. So, yeah, there's a lot to like to me about that offense. I'm curious about the defense. I'm not really sold yet. I know Payton and Lombardi will do a pretty good job when they've got the ball. Vance Joseph having the time of his life on the defensive side of the ball. Still got some questions there. Mm-hmm. Special teams coordinator there, by the way. Former Commanders great Ben Kotwicka.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's in Denver now.
Oh, well. But I think Greg Winuski's there too, by the way.
Are you kidding me?
Inside linebackers, I think. I think I read that. I think.
That's a random thing to think that you know.
I think it.
I'll take your word for it.
Mm-hmm.
If you told me Greg Winuski lived next to me, I would say that might be the case. If you told me he coached for the Broncos, I would also say maybe.
Okay. I can confirm. He is the inside linebackers coach as of last year.
Here we go.
For the Denver Broncos.
Greg Winuski.
Score one for Danny.
Oh, Greg Winuski.
Still kicking. Grant and Danny on the fan. Let's go Commanders stock report next on G&D. Week 1 of the NFL kicks off officially tonight with the Baltimore Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the fan. The Commanders are just 3 days away from getting their season underway. It's time for our first Commanders spotlight of this NFL campaign on this Thursday. Danny, get it started.
Little spotlight, if I may, GP, on none other than rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels. What's it going to look like? What's the offense going to look like? How is he going to look under the very, very bright lights of NFL Week 1? The preseason's one thing. Playing for in front of 100,000 people in Death Valley in Baton Rouge is another thing. This is the NFL where the pros meet you and they're trying to defeat you. This is a challenge unlike anything he's ever faced. You got Todd Bowles who wants to blitz as soon as he gets out of bed in the morning and really while he's in bed, he's trying to blitz. That's going to be a formidable challenge. How do you handle it? Do you come out unscathed?
Spotlight. The defensive end position in pass rush. Dorrance Armstrong comes over from Dallas. Forgotten man, I'd say, going into the season. May have his first 10-sack season loading. He has routinely been, the last couple of years, in that 7-8 sack range, playing a lot less than he will with starter snaps here in D.C. Cleveland Farrell's more of a run stuffer than a pass defender trying to get to the quarterback, but that's where Dante Fowler, maybe Jamin Davis are going to come in. How much do they use Javonte Jean-Baptiste, the 7th-round pick out of Notre Dame? I'm really curious about the defensive end position. Put the spotlight on that group.
Spotlight wide receiver, too. Who's it going to be? Diami? Luke McCaffrey? Noah Brown at some point? I don't know. In a two-receiver set, who lines up on the opposite side from Terry McLaurin? I don't know how many two-receiver sets we're going to see, by the way, but you might see some on occasion, especially if you go jumbo here, there, and everywhere. I think a lot of three-receiver sets, it'll be a little bit clearer with Zacchaeus in the slot, but I don't know who the number two option is and the receiving core. I think the number two options are tight ends, running backs, and maybe even Zacchaeus by extension close to the line of scrimmage, but who's the number two receiver? Who's going to take that gig?
Spotlight, Jerjon Johnny Newton.
Johnny.
Did not practice today, dealing with what is listed as a foot and rest. Of course, he had both feet operated on this offseason. Then he was back on day one of training camp, and we all celebrated that he didn't miss any time, except that soon thereafter, he missed lots of time. Didn't play in the preseason, now is very unlikely to play in week one of the regular season based on the fact that he did not practice at all today. Not really sure what's going on with him. Hopefully, we get some clarity as we get closer to or after this first game of the year. Spotlight on Newton because while this year might not be overly significant, it's a big deal that they got that pick right Allen or Payne or both could leave after this season. Probably Allen, who's got no guaranteed money. And then you're plugging Newton in at a position where you are hoping to be really good, because as we just talked about, the defensive end spot isn't a strength. So your pass rush comes from pushing the pocket, collapsing the interior. Johnny Newton, spotlight on you getting healthy and helping out.
Spotlight Emmanuel Forbes. Now's the time, dude. Whenever you get a chance. This is a much better setup than last year. Last year, you were asked to be the savior of both a bad offense somehow and a terrible defense. It obviously didn't work out. Now you've got every coach in place that you would probably want. If you had a dream list, they're there helping you succeed. You'd probably be benched in a more competitive program. You'd probably be an afterthought, but you're going to get a chance here, probably because you were drafted in the first round last year. You're under contract regardless. They owe you the money regardless, so where's your career going to go? Are you a great story that bounced back from adversity, or are you the bust that a lot of people think you happen to be? Whether that's fair or not, them's the breaks, but he's going to get a chance. Spotlight Emmanuel Forbes.
Spotlight Bobby Wagner, the captain of the defense, the alpha in the locker room, the 34-year-old who's going to be leading the boys all season long. 183 tackles last year led the NFL. He's led the National Football League in stops three different times and in solo tackles at different points in his career, also had a multi-touchdown season. This is an athlete who makes plays. He can be kind of create game-changing moments. Now, recently, it's just been a human wrecking ball who gets people on the ground, but he has been, at worst, a second-team All-Pro every single season since 2014. He is going to help fix the linebacking position with Frankie Louvu once and for all. Spotlight on the guy running the locker room, the 9-time Pro Bowler and future Hall of Famer. Welcome to D.C., Bobby Wagner.
Spotlight Tyler Biadasz. Please, please just solidify this position. This has been a carousel. This has been a hot mess, on fire, left out in the sun, and sprayed with skunk juice. The center position here has been the worst. We can't seem to get it, no matter who the darling is, the previous regime, or this is the time. Now we've got it. Now we're going to figure it out. This is an established pro, not a world beater, but please just be stable. Please be sound. Get everyone on the same page and keep Jaden Daniels upright.
It is crazy how bad they've been at center the last couple years.
Since Chase Roullier got seriously hurt, it has been a yard sale.
So there you go. Spotlight on your Commanders here in week one as we get ready for the Tampa Bay Bucs on Sunday. We'll have a full preview of the game on tomorrow's show. The other thing about the center position, Danny, while I think about it, it's not just that they've guessed wrong or they haven't been able to solve it. It's also that they go through guys one at a time, to your point, with injuries. It's just been a revolving door. It's been an Achilles heel. That has been, they've got a couple of Eleanors, but that's been an Eleanor. They cannot swipe that car. They cannot land that plane. Biadasz is the first time they've really paid anybody post-Roullier and expected that they've figured it out by throwing money at them.
Yeah, they've used eight centers over the last couple of seasons.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Let's get you one last preview of Thursday night football. It's the Sunday night crew on Thursday night. Hopefully that's not confusing. But Sunday night football on a Thursday coming your way tonight to kick off the NFL season. And we'll get you ready for the Nats and the Pirates before we say goodbye on G&D.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.